to you in tongues and speak in tongues, what good would I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? And even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what the tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, and I bolded that, speaking intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and a speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray as if they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also will sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, in verse 5, even though Paul spoke in tongues, he stresses prophecy. And here, he's talking about preaching. Because it benefits the body. It benefits the church. It benefits just like worship does. And worship must be an understandable and edifying way thing to the church as well. Instruments, as we saw doing worship today, instruments must play each note in order for the music to be clear and to be understood. Paul's words preached in the hearts. Oops, I did it again. There we go. And the hearts of the language are more clear and helpful. Gifts of the fruits and gifts of the Spirit and how they correlate with one another. They're directly linked. Those first 1 through 9 are directly linked. But here is the treat, number 10. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly and equipped for every good work. And 1 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7 says, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us the purpose for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, starting at verse 8, says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for the purpose of being cleansed from sin, but it's more for the purpose of empowering you for service. Getting you ready to do something. So you can get ready to pick up your sword and your shield and get out there and go do whatever he's called you to do. Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, then the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared to them divided tongues as the fire sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Receiving the Holy Spirit upon conversion and being baptized in the Holy Spirit are two separate and distinct experiences. The disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Christ's resurrection for the New Testament experience of salvation. But at this moment, the disciples passed from the Old Testament salvation to the New Testament of salvation. Let me get the worship team to come up before I finish. Because we about to go in and have the power fall upon you in this place. Let's go. Thank you, God. Now, there's a baptism unto life, which is the baptism into the body of Christ. And there's a baptism unto the power. Baptism unto the power. Yes. Which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the baptism on the body of Christ, the baptizer is the Holy Spirit. The element is the body of Christ. The purpose is the newness of eternal life. The evidence are the fruits of the Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptizer is Jesus. The element is the Holy Spirit. The purpose is the power to witness. And the evidence, gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. And Galatians 3:26-27 says, for you are all sons of God through faith and in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And under the Holy Spirit, the scriptures read Luke 3:16 says, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. And John 1:32-34 says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. The nine gifts compared to the nine. Break.